the tape from what she said, and they just repeated it. They just saturated it the last 2 days, 3 days, last 3 days on Social Security. And she was a woman that knew, and she was a woman that kind of handled Social Security, and she'd served with him many years on the same committee. And that here's how he voted. Now, it's not how you talk, it's not what you say, it's how you vote. And here are the votes that I heard him say aye on. And then she'd call them off. Making women eligible. You remember, and I got Walter George to reduce that rate on women down to 55, I believe it was. And she called all those, and he voted for them. Now, tell me, how do I dodge this fight that they get men wanting to purge everybody in the House? They got two of them over there, John Bell Williams, who just came out snorting for gold water. Some little fellow from South Carolina that told them all to go to hell, and he went with gold water, kind of a Thurman deal. He followed him. Those are the only two that they really got any acts out, but all the majority, they got nearly 300 now. And all of them, I guess, except in the South, they're just chomping at the bits. And Carl Albert's calling me now, and I haven't talked to him. He's out of lunch, I guess.
Well, it'd be easy enough to let them go if they hadn't let Adam Clayton Powell bait twice. He took stump twice by it now, and then it'd have penalized him.
Yeah.
And,
well, that may be an argument. Might say, well, it's going to make it retroactive. Just make it all the way retroactive. They might adopt a rule that in the future or something like that.
Yeah, well, they might do that. Let a fellow know what he's getting into. But there have been a number of instances where that was done. That one, of course, was most outstanding, because right after he got through stumping by, now they elected him chairman of the committee.
Price Daniels, another one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We were mighty good to him.
Yes, sir. And
he was a good Democrat, good senator.
And in that 48 thing, Jim Eastman spoke for Thurman. But there were a number of them in the Eisenhower campaign. There were at least a dozen Democratic congressmen senators that supported Eisenhower openly and on the stump. I don't know that fellow Watson.
I don't know him either. Now, what are we going to do in the Senate, Dick? Are you going to take any leadership there?
Well, I'm going to support most of your program. I hope you got
you. Oh, no, I'm talking about the leadership of the Senate.
Oh, I guess Mike Mansfield would be the leader, of course.
I know that, but I'm talking about taking Newport's place. What's going to happen
there?
Well,
that's all in a mess. Monroney called me last night. John Pastore is a candidate. Russell Long's been running like hell for 2 months or 3 months. And I don't know. It's just in a mess. It'll work itself out somehow or other. I don't see how I can help you any possibly get into that.
Well, every one of them, yeah, they've called me. Pastore hadn't. But Russell did, and Mike Monroney did. And I just told them I saw Roosevelt get in there with Barclay and get cut up, and they're all good Democrats. I love them all. And
well, this is a secondary position anyhow. It's not like the leader. And, of course, they're going to... They may raise some issue on John Pastore about both of them being Catholics, as well as the Speaker of the House. That may get into it. I don't want us to ever revive any
Hale
religious business here. And Hale, the Fox, is a Catholic, too. I don't know. Best thing you can do, just say all you boys my friends. And I don't think it'd be appropriate for me on a position of this nature. It's not like the leadership don't affect my program directly.
You don't think it would satisfy them all if Smathers had agreed to take it and moved on up?
I don't know about John Pastore. I told Russell that if Smathers ran, that he would be in a lot of trouble. That boys down south, a lot of them would vote for Smathers. And he went to Smathers, and Smathers told him he didn't want it. Of course, he could change his mind.
Well, no, if that's what he said, he never has told me that, so I guess that's right. And I guess that's why nobody's heard from him.
Well, Smathers told me, because I went to him before I told Russell I'd vote for him and spoke to him. He said he didn't want it.
He's done a good job. Mathers has.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
However, I must say that he's not enjoyed some or another. Doesn't have the standing there and the standing that you'd think he's had after been there as long as he has. I don't know. There's just a lot of people.
No, but they give him, they cut him up a little bit, and they give him credit for things he doesn't do. He's been, I see all the time where he's very disloyal to Kennedy and very disloyal to me, and he's nobody up there been a better friend of mine than he has.
That's right.
And he's been loyal to both of us. He just can't jump through a hoop when you tell him, because if he did, he wouldn't be representing Florida.
That's right. There'd be times he just can't possibly do it.
And I'll tell you, I was damn glad he'd represent the other side a little bit this time when I was traveling through Florida.
Oh, I guess so. It helped you down there.
If he'd have been like Claude Pepper, I never would have carried Florida.
That's right. Of course not.
And Spessard, too. And he just, old Spessard. Now, you know, I my affection for him.
You owe as much to him as you do any man in Florida, because he stumped that state, and he spoke for Johnson every time he spoke.
He's just as serious as that proverbial pig, too. Yes, he never smiled.
But you know, he's tight as hell down in Florida.
Of course he is. He's
often smiles.
I think he got over 80%.
But he spoke for you every time he spoke.
Yeah, well, he's a wonderful fellow. I got to call him. I've been calling a few of them. I got to call him.
Well, he's a good boy. He's a good fellow.
Well, then I'll just dodge it then. That's what I thought I ought to do.
That's the best thing. And give Lady Bud my love.
Here she is. Say howdy to her.
Senator?
Honey, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm lying in the sunshine and just enjoying it and facing going back to the fray with not too brave a heart, but we'll soon be ready.
I think you're entitled to a rest after getting out and electing a man behind such a majority as that. I want to personally apologize to you. I wasn't here at the time about that bulletin down in Savannah.
That didn't matter. That didn't matter at all.
Thing to everybody in Georgia. You were picking your way across there. I told you on the phone that it was all country down in that area.
Yes.
But I am amazed that they did boo down at Savannah, and I heard about it with great humiliation.
Well, we thought we better go into the worst parts, and I made all my guesses on where I went came out right, except Georgia. I guess that we would carry Virginia and North Carolina, and we did. I guess that we'd probably lose South Carolina, and we did. And I thought we were going to win Georgia.
I did.
And I was right on Louisiana and right on, of course, everybody knew all about the others.
I was amazed at the vote in Georgia. I thought the president carried by around 15,000, 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost it by a very substantial vote. But the thing got tied up in a whole lot of local politics and the personalities here and things like that just didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyhow, we all got a plenty ahead of us, so we'll just have to recuperate our strength and get back at it, and we'll look forward to seeing you as soon as we're up there.
Well, thank you, honey.
Just a minute. Lennon wants to talk to you again.
I'm really serious about going hunting. Now, you tell Bobby and the governor and old, y'all invited in time before Christmas.
Well, that's mighty fine, Mr. President, but we'll have to bring Herman in on this.
Yeah, we'll bring him in. We bring him in. Bring anybody they want to bring.
He'll kill every damn deer you got.
I don't care. We got lots of them. You bring them all in on him.
Well, I'll
tell him we got an annual deal and let us know when it's convenient, so I can work it out when I can be back down here.
I'll talk to Bobby about it.
What about the budget? They're going to want to go up about $5 billion. You think I got to psychologically almost keep it under 100?
$5
billion? Yeah. That's normally what they go up. Three Kennedy years went up $5
billion. About three.
That'd make it about 102, and I had 97.7, and looks like I'm going to run about 97.2.
You're going to have to increase it some, these bills.
All these education bills and my great society and my poverty and all that.
Yeah. And the Appalachian bill and all
that.
Well, I think it can stand that maybe. I don't know about this, how much reducing taxes much more, though. I see where you're getting ready to reduce them some more.
Well, we're just going to cut off some excise taxes.
Well, Yeah, some little wartime excise taxes ought to come off before we cut the income taxes. It's a practical matter. They're more deserving of being coming off.
You know, I don't understand this economics, but all these economics fellas, Dillon and the undersecretary, I'm afraid I'm losing both of them, and I'm going to be in a hell of a shape.
Well, I hope you don't.
I'm begging them to stay, but Rosa says he just can't survive anymore at his salary, and he's the best money man in America. And he's been at the Federal Reserve in New York all those years. And Dillon says that his father owns $300-400 million. He's 82 years old, and somebody's got to run it. Nobody's been running it the last 5-6 years, and it's going to pot. And he just can't stay any longer, wants to come see me. Hodges wants to leave.
Well, you can spare him.
And
he's a good man, but he's just no ball of fire. Dillon has surprised me in the Treasury. I never thought he could do his job.
Done a wonderful job, just wonderful. And he's good on security matters. He's good with the Secretary of State. He's just a good, solid fella, and he's a progressive man, yet he's as sound as he can be, Dick.
Got his feet on the ground. He's a pretty good man, I think.
I'm going to try my best to keep him. I don't know who else.
He loves to work for the government, and he likes Washington. Of course, that's a hell of a lot of money to get away from.
82 years old, too, and I think he's worried about it.
Yeah?
His daddy's 82.
Well, I bet you can talk me on staying on your head, too, anyhow, till you get your tax bill adjusted and adjustments made. Because you're going to have to make some adjustments in that tax bill.
What's going to be the crisis in civil rights when FEP comes in?
I don't look for any overwhelming crisis on the part of the white people, Mr. President. I don't know how much some of your extreme-colored brethren are going to kick up a riot. They go to raising cane around while they're, of course, it'll cause trouble. But there's going to be a lot of muttering and cussing. But as far as any outright this off, I think that I think they're reconciled to it very largely. They've expressed their mad now by voting against you. And I think they're going ahead and really do their damn best to live with it. That's been the attitude of everyone I've talked to.
You hear my statement election night?
No, sir, I didn't.
Well, I tried to be very conciliatory.
Oh,
and
I
said we want all everybody to work together.
Yes, I read.
We had a good, this is a tribute to good cabinet, and we all expressed ourselves now, Democrats and Republicans in all regions, all sections had to.
I thought it was a very felicitous statement. A very felicitous statement. I read it in the paper, yes, I did.
Well, okay, well, I'll let you go so I can get you next time, but tell them all hello, and particularly tell Bobby, and you tell him I want to hear from him.
And I'll be praying for you and pulling for you.
I know that. God bless you.
Bye.